This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Let's head off to Amsterdam. What do you say? And we connect with Professor Dion Foster. He's at the Free University in Amsterdam. Good morning, Dion. Trust all is well.
Brad, very blessed. Good to be back home.
I'm sure.
And we've started our movement into Herbst, and it's windy and cold today. But hopefully there's a break in the rain so I can cycle to the office.
Oh, that sounds good. We've got a bit of a drizzle happening here on our side as well. Dion, I couldn't help but think of you just with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And I know how much you would enjoy a good debate and how much passion you have for the word and for encouraging young people. When you think about somebody desperately trying to silence somebody who should otherwise have freedom of speech, certainly not the first time and it won't be the last. But it's always so sad to me when you've got a family man, a man who stands up for the gospel and loves the word and just really wants to encourage and grow young people, having to see his life ended the way that it has.
Brad, it's an absolute tragedy, you know. And of course, this sort of tragedy fits into the larger tragedy of what we're seeing playing out in the United States. You know, it has to do with a great deal of polarization and intolerance, but also, unfortunately, with a nation that is in love with guns and weapons, you know. And I mean, if you just compare gun ownership in the United States to what there is in Canada and even Mexico, which is a far more violent and economically divided country, it really just shows that, yeah, the nation itself really needs to introspect about the direction that they're going in. It really is, I think, for us important to pray for the United States. It's in a very tough place at the moment.
Yeah, thank you for that word of wisdom on that, because it's very easy to want to pick sides, as we so often do in every situation. What's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Ukraine, you know, everybody's, what's happening in other areas of the world. We kind of feel like we need to pick a side, but maybe we just need to look at it from the kingdom perspective here and pray appropriately. I think one thing that's also important to mention in this kind of a conversation is sometimes it's also a platform for the gospel to be shared, or for the word of God to rise up, and it's time then maybe for those prodigal sons and daughters to come home, and that's pretty much what you're touching on this morning, Dion.
Brad, absolutely. I mean, so you know, part of what we're talking about is the sense that you know, all of us at some stages have been lost. We've lost our way. And, you know, just a little bit like what we were talking about now in the United States, you know, when you lose your way and you can't find your way out, when you think that there's no way to be found, it can be quite disconcerting. So I was thinking back about this. I remember when I was a young child once going to a shopping center and being lost, and just that sense of dread and panic.
Yes.
And I'm sure all of us have seen those little kiddies, you know, and then you hear the announcement at the Pick and Pay saying, we've got a little girl here, you know, named Tembeletu. Can her mom or dad please come and fetch her, you know? And every parent can have that sort of sense of the feeling. Now, Luke chapter 15 is the gospel reading, which is set for this coming Sunday. And of course, it begins with these stories of being lost and found. There are three of them, actually. But we'll focus just on the first two today. The one that's probably best known is the third one. That's the story of the lost son and the loving father and the embittered brother, that often called the story of the prodigal son. But it's actually two stories before that where Jesus sort of sets the scene for that, Luke chapter 15, 1 to 10. And of course, that's the story of the lost sheep and also of the lost coin. And one of the things that strikes me about this, Brad, is that in a sense, this is the gospel within the gospel. Jesus tells this story to the Pharisees, to those who thought they had it all together, those who thought that they were found. And Jesus tries to remind them that God has a talent for finding us that is greater than our talent for being lost. Think about that for a moment. God's talent for finding is greater than our talent for being lost. And of course, being lost is not just about direction, but I know persons, loved ones, family, myself sometimes even, who have been lost in doubt. Certainly, we know people who've been lost in grief, people who've been lost in a sense of exclusion, people who have found themselves lost because they feel trapped in a world which doesn't allow them to find their space or their place. But this is the gospel within the gospel. Jesus goes to find the lost and he wants to welcome them in. You can imagine Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the holy of the holiest, and he tells them about the tax collectors, the sinners, the woman who's caught in adultery. And he does an absolutely scandalous thing by telling them that God's greatest joy is to be found in seeking out that lost one rather than, adhering to right rigid rule keeping. Jesus speaks a little bit about, who is on the inside and on the outside. One of my favorite authors, Barbara Brown Taylor, wrote about this, and she called it something new in the lost and found department. And I thought that was wonderful. Now, Brad, just quickly to turn it upside down, very often when I've heard these texts preached, it's almost as if we are trying to sort of say, look, that lost sheep needs to be willing to be found, that lost coin, what is there that you can do to be found? But notice that in the parable Jesus tells, the coin isn't asked to be more shiny, and the lost sheep isn't asked to bleat louder and find its way. Rather, the emphasis is upon God, whose grace is sufficient, God who looks for the brighter torch, the better broom, to find the lost coin. God who tries to, in a sense, say to the 99 who want all of God's attention and time, are you willing to be just a little more loving, a little more inclusive, a little more patient, so that I can go and find the lost one? So, Brad, I tell you what struck me in this passage today was, I want to watch for myself being the person who is like the Pharisees. And that's what this story really was about. I want to be careful not to be the one who becomes the barrier to God finding the lost sheep and finding that lost coin. I want to be the one where, when Jesus tells the story, he's able to say, Dion, for the church that you're a part of, you really were open to allowing me to reach into the world. So part of the reason for that is because I know what it is to be lost myself, and I'm so grateful that I'm found. And I want to rejoice in seeing God use me and others to bring that lost one into the fold. So maybe just around you today, you can have a little look. Maybe there's someone in your workplace. Maybe there's a child in your family, an older person, an uncle, an aunt who strayed away from life, lost their presence to the Lord. And what is there that you can do to shine a brighter light? To create a space that clears the rubble around them so that they can be seen, that you can quieten the grumbling of the other sheep to say, let's hold a space so that Jesus can bring this person back, and then we can have a party and rejoice.
Hey, what a beautiful story. I think there are people out there, Dion, that don't know that they need to be saved. And when we connect with them and walk a journey with them, then we answer that desire they didn't even know they had. And then there's also those who are just so waiting for somebody to show them the way. They're very open to being guided, but we don't connect. And so we never guide them. And so we can't miss on people. Maybe we need to keep our eyes open in our circles, see who's just waiting to be led home, and we can be that person for them.
Absolutely. And Brad, of course, it all begins with prayer.
Yeah.
To really be so discerning and prayerful to say, Lord, would you show me? Would you open my eyes, soften my heart, strengthen my hands, increase my resources? Give me just that little gap in my diary, just that tiny little extra bit in my budget, so that I can be the one that you use to bring back the one.
We love that. What you up to today? You're always up to something interesting, so I'm poking my nose in your business today.
Yeah, so this week we're actually hosting the Global Network for Public Theology. So thinking a lot about the ways in which Christians represent their faith in public life, and how, particularly in democracies, sometimes what's decided in courts and places of law affects the church and Christianity. So we are hosting scholars from all over the world, a couple of hundred of them who are reflecting on these things, lawyers and political scientists and theologians and policymakers, thinking about how we can be responsible for the gospel and the kingdom of God in our societies.
Wow, some massive conversations, and it's all happening there close to where Prof. Dion is at the Vrije Universiteit in Amsterdam. Thanks for your time and for your thoughts this morning, Dion. Appreciate you so much. Have a great day and hope you find a break in that rain to get your cycling on.
Thanks, my friend. God bless you. Bye then.
Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.